All right. You guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
I need to turn it up a little bit. But it is so great to be here. Good afternoon, church. It is an honor to be able to preach the word to you guys. Before we get started, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be here today, God. I pray that I can just get out of the way, God, and that your spirit can speak to our hearts, Father. I pray that we have humble hearts, and that we just receive the message with eagerness and earnestness, Father. We love you, and we appreciate everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I actually don't have a clicker, so. My lesson is called Bold as a Lion. And it comes from the scripture of Proverbs 28:1. And it says, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Is there anyone in here who wants to be as bold as a lion?
Yeah.
Hey, we got a couple people. Amen. You know, I was on campus this past Friday, and I was leaving the dorms, and I saw this guy over by the basketball courts, and he was just sitting by himself. He had his headphones on, and it's probably like the third or fourth time that I've seen him. And I was like, all right, I'm preaching a message on boldness. I got to be bold and share my faith with this guy. And so I park my car and I walk over there and I'm like, hey man, what's going on? How are you doing? He's like, I'm doing good. How are you? And he's got like, you know those little shots? He's got like two little shots of alcohol. So I'm just like, okay, I'm doing good. What's your name? And we get to meet each other. And I do one of these things right before I'm about to share my faith. And I go like this. I like look over and I'm like, just gather myself before I'm like, you know, do you believe in God? He's like, what is it, man? Like, you obviously came up to me for something. Uh-huh. I'm like, do you believe in God? And we started talking. He goes, bro, you got to be way more bold. He goes, you have to come with some power. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, I'm preaching on boldness this weekend. It was just convicting. And, you know, I took everything he said with a grain of salt, but some things he said actually impacted me, you know, about coming with more power, and he said, you could be doing way more, and I mean, I'm going to take that and be like, you're right, I can be doing more, and then we talked about, he said, you know, Jesus, he sinned. I was like, whoa, I know that the Bible says that Jesus did not sin. He goes, oh yeah, where at? And I was like, and he's like, too long. Said, you even got the firepower, bro, on you. And I was like, oh my word. He's like, go home after this, read your Bible, get stronger, be filled up, and then come back and talk. And I was just like, oh my word. But I was fired up. I was like, amen. Like, I need to be more bold. And I think we all want to be as bold as a lion, right? Come on. You know, looking at this scripture, it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So it's not the wicked, it's the righteous. So if we want to be as bold as a lion, we first need to be righteous. And the word righteous means to be in a right relationship with God. It means to be doing the right thing. And then, so if you want to be right, you first need to have faith. And you know, faith is a word that can have many different meanings.
Yeah.
It can mean to be faithful. It can mean absolute trust. It can mean to have a confident hope. And I have some scriptures up here that talk about how righteousness comes through faith. That faith is the building block on how to become righteous. So we have Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So this righteousness is given through faith. Then Romans 1, verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Amen.
Again, we see in Romans 4, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. So we see that righteousness comes by faith. And, you know, without first believing in God, why would you ever pick up this book? Or if you had the questions, maybe you don't believe in God, but you're willing to give it a try. And that means that you have some faith. You're questioning it. There is a possibility that I'm going to end up believing this. And I want to go right to the source. I think the more you study out this book, the more you realize, like, yeah, you can be a good person without the Bible, but the Bible makes you the best person you can be. It makes you right with God. You guys can turn your Bibles over to Mark 9. So in verse 17, we'll start reading. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." You know, I wonder how many of us do believe, but we just need some help overcoming our unbelief.
Good point.
Let me ask you, what if you were talking to this guy and he said that to you, he's like, "I believe, but you know, I have some doubts, I just need help." What would your advice be to him? You know, some of the advice I hear is, "Bro, you gotta have more faith. You gotta dig deeper. You just gotta trust God. Don't give up." And I believe that that is stuff we all need to hear from time to time. But I think there can be better advice. And like I said, I do think we need that from time to time. But let me ask you, where does faith come from? You know, does it come from inside you? Is it something that you just gotta, "Man, I'm not quite there, I just gotta keep digging"? Church, faith comes from hearing the word. Romans 10:17. This is the New King James Version. It says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So this faith, it comes from spending time in the word, from reading the Bible. So let me ask you guys, how is your Bible studying thing going? Are you guys spending time in the word daily? You know, if we want to have great faith, then we need to be spending time in the word. And your Bible time needs to reflect that. You know, does anyone in here want small faith?
No.
No. I didn't think so. You know, it's easy. If you want small faith, it's easy. It's not that difficult. You know, don't read your Bible. Or spend, you know, 5 minutes in the one devotional, the one scripture that you have. You know, Hebrews 5, verse 13, it says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." You know, I want to ask you guys, if you guys have been a Christian for a long time, are you guys still drinking milk? Or maybe as a baby Christian, it's time to start eating more edible foods. You know, the truth is that however old you are, however long you've been a Christian, your Bible time should reflect that. You know, like, if you've been a Christian for 20 years, your quiet time should not look the same as the day you were baptized.
Right.
And you know, if you've been a Christian for a year, your quiet time should look so different from a year ago. You know, the scripture says if we are still drinking milk, we're not acquainted with righteousness. And we need to be righteous if we want to be as bold as a lion. You know, spending time in the Word, it's so simple and it's so fundamental. Church, can I be honest with you guys for a second? Can I be real with you guys? You know, I don't think that everyone prioritizes their Bible reading. You know, like, if you don't prioritize your Bible reading, then what does that say about how you prioritize your faith? Or about how you prioritize God? You know, church, if we want to have great faith that leads to righteousness, then we need to be spending time in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
You know, my second point is if we want to be as bold as a lion, we got to have a clear conscience. You guys can turn your Bibles over to Genesis 3.
All right. Come on, Dave.
And you notice it says, the wicked flee, though no one pursues. So this idea of, like, you're running away, but nothing's there. So why are you running?
Right.
And it's because they have a guilty conscience. And they're worried about getting caught. Whereas the righteous, we have a clear conscience. We're able to stand bold before God and know, okay, this was my intentions. I know what I was doing. You know, so there's a connection between fear and wickedness. And there's a connection between boldness and righteousness. So let's read here in Genesis 3, verse 4. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And we all know that they did eat from that tree. And this is one of the first stories in the Bible that shows the wicked flee though no one pursues. I mean, it says God was walking in the garden. He wasn't stalking. Am I right? He was walking. He wasn't in pursuit of Adam or Eve. He was just having a stroll. But you know, Adam and Eve's consciousness, they're like, "Oh my gosh, God's coming. We're naked. We gotta hide." You know, how many of us can relate to having a guilty conscience? You know, before I was a Christian, back in the days of being in college, so that was a couple of years ago, but, you know, I was at my friend's house, and like I said, this was before I was a Christian, and we would smoke pot almost every single day, and we lived over in Canterbury, and we would always smoke in the basement. And this one day, he was like, "Hey, the Canterbury cleaners are going to come over and clean the carpet." And I was like, "Okay." So he's like, "Yeah, we'll just go upstairs. You can chill up there. I'll talk to him." I'm like, "All right, no problem." And he had given me some marijuana. And he's like, "All right, go roll this upstairs while the cleaners come." So I was like, "Okay, I'll go there." And so I'm in, there's three stories, obviously, the upstairs, middle, basement. I'm on the upstairs, they're cleaning the basement. And, you know, I finished doing what I was doing, and I walked down, and they had a huge tube going to the basement, so the front door was opening. So they were vacuuming, and it was going in their truck. So I saw that the tube was still in the door. So I was like, okay, they're still here. I'll wait a little bit longer. So I'm waiting. I'm playing on my phone, doing whatever. And I hear someone coming up the stairs. I'm like, that's a little, those are some heavy stomps. And I hear them knock on the door next to me. Canterbury, please open up. And I'm like, oh my. I was like, are you kidding me? So I run over, I lock the door, and I'm like, what is going on? They go, Canterbury, please open up. And they open the door, and I hear them walk into the room. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I have this stuff on me, right? I have drugs on me. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm like, I'm going to lose my scholarship for playing volleyball. I'm going to be kicked off. I'm going to be sent home to Buffalo. I could go to jail. And part of me is like, all right, there's a huge pile of laundry. I could hide the drugs under that pile, and there's a chance that they might not find it. And then they come over to my door, and they're like, Canterbury, police, open up. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what do I do? So I'm like, I gotta get rid of it. I can't risk it. And you know how they have like those air vents around the house? So I dumped that, like, heating and cooling. So I dumped it down there, and I just go to the door, and you can hear, I can see them wiggling the doorknob. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I go over there, I open the door, and it's my friend. And I'm like, my face was white as a ghost. He's like, dude, are you all right? Like, you look like you've seen a ghost. I'm like, dude, you scared me. Like,
yeah.
Talk about having a guilty conscience.
Right.
I think that's a perfect example of how the wicked flee, though no one pursues. You know, in my mind, I was doing something wrong. I was doing something illegal. So my mind made the connections. Okay, this is what's happening, when it wasn't really happening at all. You know, 1 John 3:19 says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. You know, I get that some of us have guilty consciences pretty much no matter what. That even when we're doing the right thing, it can feel like I'm still doing something wrong. And, you know, I think guilt is a good thing because it shows you that you're doing something wrong. First, you're not a sociopath. You have emotions.
Yeah.
Second, it gives you the opportunity to change what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
But you know that Satan is the accuser. He accuses the saints night and day. So if you feel like you're being accused night and day, and you feel like you're doing the right thing, but there's still something off, ask someone close to you, hey, can I be doing this better? Or have I been wrong in this area? Because this scripture tells us, you know, if your heart condemns you and you know you're doing everything right, then just know that God is greater than your heart. Know that God sees through. He sees your intentions. He knows exactly what you were thinking.
Yep.
You know? And if your conscience is clear, then we can stand confidently before God and say, God, here I am, bold as a lion. If you're not, then you need to change.
Yeah.
So how can we have a clear conscience towards God? You know, first we need to have faith and the understanding of what God views as just and what He views as wicked. Because if you don't, then maybe you're being falsely accused. Maybe God says what you're doing is all right and you think it's a sin and you're beating yourself up for it. Or maybe on the other hand, you think what I'm doing is completely fine, but in God's word it says it's not. So another reason to know the word of God. You know, a lot of us, when we think of being bold as a lion, I think of someone going out and just like sharing their faith with like 500 people. Just like, or having a massive quiet time, or just like sticking up for someone in the workplace, or resolving problems. Like, that's bold. I don't think we necessarily think of confessing sin as bold. But it's something we need to start thinking of as bold.
Amen.
We need to start confessing our sin. You know, confessing our sin is a very easy way to get a clear conscience before one another and before God.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of being as bold as a lion. You know, most of you know, Thomas and I, that we're roommates and we're trying every single day to confess sin or just be open like, hey, I was dealt with these temptations. You know, do you have those type of relationships? Church, we need to be bold and confess our sin. You know, very simple. I think God gave me this divine inspiration, but another way to have a clear conscience is not to sin. Is just don't do it, okay? You know, but maybe you aren't sinning. Maybe you are confessing every single sin, and you're trying your best. You're reading your Bible. You're praying, and Satan is attacking you day and night. Maybe he's after you. You know, you ever feel like you're doing everything right, but you still feel like you're in a spiritual funk?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why can't I be joyful right now? Like, why am I more on the depressed side? Like, what's wrong? I'm not doing anything bad. God, help me out here. And sometimes I think we just need to turn up the spiritual intensity a little bit.
Yeah.
So I got a video here. My third point is that sometimes we need to go beast mode, church. And this isn't just for the brothers, okay? Sisters can go beast mode too, because first off, they're way more spiritual, so they should be able to go beast mode. So I'm going to show you guys this video, and I just want you to think of you. Picture yourself as the lizard, right?
Okay.
And all the snakes are Satan's snares, just trying to break you down, trying to get at you. And you just got to go beast mode.
Snake's eyes aren't very good, but they can detect movement. So if the hatchling keeps its nerve, it may just avoid detection.
But yeah, you know, in 2 Corinthians, you guys don't have to turn there, chapter 11, verse 24, it says, this is Paul speaking, five times, actually I'll start in verse 23, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? You know, here, sounds like Paul's had a bad day. Sounds like he's gotten beat up a couple of times. And I couldn't imagine what Paul was feeling. I mean, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. You know, if I go without food for one meal, I don't feel good. You know? He's in danger all the time in the city and the country. He spent a night in the open sea. He's been pelted with stones. This guy's been through a lot. But we know that Paul was extreme and that Paul remained faithful. Yeah. That Paul was as bold as a lion. And I just want to say, you know, I don't think all of us have our own struggles. But we can still be bold as a lion. Amen? Yeah. You know, what I really mean by this going beast mode is sometimes you got to have a deeper quiet time. I'm talking about having a higher spiritual intensity. Like, say you have a quiet time for 20 minutes. And you're like, you know what? I'm just in a funk. I'm just going to have a quiet time for however long. Maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. Maybe you're like, you know what? I just need to be alone and pray to God. I need to pour out my heart. You know, I usually just pray in the morning when I wake up. I'm going to just go to this park and be there for an hour. And what I'm not telling you guys to do is to be more self-righteous. To be like, oh, look at me. I'm having a deeper quiet time. Don't read for the knowledge. Read for your relationship with God.
Yes.
Go and talk to God. Spend more time with Him. Go beast mode, church. You know, do not rely on your own understanding, but on God's.
Yeah.
Don't pray to show off. Pray to talk to God.
Yeah.
You know, memorize scripture so that when Satan comes at you, so that way when all those snakes are after you and you're in a bind, you just take your sword, the bottom just, ah! You're out of here, Satan. Memorize scripture, church.
Okay.
You know, we're going to have one last song. But church, let's be bold as a lion. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go beast mode, church.
Amen.
Let's have one last song.
All right, you guys. Let's encourage one another and think about how we can be bold.